All right, good morning. Super excited to have you all here this morning. I've heard from many of you and had a conversation with a couple of you. I know it was a little bit of adjustment this morning to actually pull in a parking lot with parking spots, right? So I heard some of y'all had to take a couple shots at it to get it in there. We're going to grow together. We're going to learn that there's lines there that we now park within. We're growing in that, right? Super excited to have that. If you've got a chance to pick up a bulletin, grab your bulletin, crack it open. Let's take a look at some announcements here just to remind you all of some things. The Volleyball Church League is firing back up. The sign-up sheet is out there. I've already seen multiple names signed up on it. Be sure, if you want to participate in that, sign up for that. Something else that I wanted to also mention on that is that we view and use this as an outreach tool. So if you know of anyone who maybe attends church that doesn't have a volleyball league, or someone that you want to come and let them see that Christians can join together and have fun, sign them up on that sheet. We would love to have them on that sheet with us, right? Get them on there. You see there the van ministry. I would encourage you to pray about that. If you feel so led to serve in the van ministry, there's always slots for you to sign up on that. Let's see here, Christmas caroling. We've got that for December 5th, 4:30 to 6. There's a tub out there for candy donations. I make no promises I won't take some candy out of there, but I will do my best not to take any. I'm just joking. I'm not going to take any candy. But there's a bucket out there to put that in. Youth and youth parents, December 10th. That's rapidly approaching. There is going to be a Christmas party / lock-in for the youth. You see the information there. Mark your calendars. We would love to have you there. Speaking of the youth, they're going to be decorating for the Christmas parade Friday, December 3rd. So Friday, December 3rd is when the youth are going to gather to decorate. They're starting to gather things, and so the theme's going to be Jesus is the greatest gift. The youth are looking for some donations here. If anyone would be willing to let us borrow lights, like any Christmas lights. So, this is the one I laughed at when I saw this. Small, medium cages, parentheses, to make gift boxes out of. So no one's going to get locked inside a cage. Don't worry about that. Raphael is not placing your kids in cages. They're going to wrap those as gifts. They would also be more than happy to take cardboard boxes off your hands, some extra wrapping paper to make presents out of, I'm assuming. If you have questions, talk to Raphael or Ruby, talk to Brad or Crecia, or talk to Tony and Christy. So look for those things around your house if you have those. You'll see there the open house. That's going to be happening December 11th from 10 to 1. Melissa's already shared with me some of the things she's making. It's going to be good food. I hope you come and enjoy those, right? A poke cake? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. And then also Christmas play practice is going on. We've been saying this for a while. We're going to keep saying this. If you haven't had the opportunity to bring your young children that's okay. There's always a spot for them, right? You're not behind if you haven't came yet. We would love to have your kids come and participate in the Christmas play, right? You normally, at this time right here, we've been walking through and introducing all of the different Sunday school classes, because one of my goals is to encourage everyone to try Sunday school class at least once. Come to at least Sunday school class one time, give it a shot. That's one of my goals that I have in this next year. But this morning, we're going to suspend that in light of a different update. Is we got I call them the Georgia Davids, right? They're in this weekend. And so Sarah is going to come up this morning and give us an update on the M28 church and what's going on down there. And I have a microphone. What did I do with the microphone? Oh, here it is. Yeah, you talk with the microphone. There you go.
Hi. So for some of you that are new, just to fill you in 2012, the Dyes, our former pastor here, and the Davids moved to Atlanta to do a church plant. In 2013, the first service of M28 was held. M28 is in reference to Matthew 28, which explains the life, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, as well as the command to his disciples to go and tell. This past Sunday, we just celebrated our 8th anniversary as a church. In October of 2019, we were gifted a property in West Midtown Atlanta in a neighborhood called Howell Station. We've been remodeling the buildings with the help of our partner churches. The remodeling includes the parsonage, sanctuary, coffee house, and basement. So there's the outside of the church. There's the inside of the sanctuary that's on the screen as well. There's the coffee house. Looks different than that now, but that's where, of course, we have coffee on Sunday mornings and our fellowship hall. The picture that you see there is from Bible school this year, so we were able to hold our first vacation Bible school. We've had a back-to-school bash in the community and a community Halloween party as well. Each third Sunday, we have a church meal in which the community is invited. There's a picture of Matt and Teresa and Faith and Caleb and Joshua and Daniel and Marilyn, for those of you that remember when Marilyn would join us as well here. So that's a picture. There's us at Bible school. We had probably about 20 kids from the community. And then we had what's known as Gen Senders, which are college kids that commit to spending their summer in different cities around the United States. And so they led us around. There's Emily leading music. There's our church yard to where we were able to do the games. Caleb is there in the middle with the striped shirt on that you can see as well. There's some familiar faces for some of you, Caleb, Lily, Micah, and Daniel. And then that's the back of the church property. Matt and Matthew still act good and silly together on stage leading Vacation Bible School as well this summer. About every second Sunday of the month, they try to have college students into their home. So that's a picture of the parsonage. You can see Matt's head there. And then some of our college kids as well. Our associate pastor there is Harold Duval there with the khaki shirt on. And that was our most recent baptism of two college students as well. We average about 80 in attendance, many of them being Georgia Tech and Georgia State University students. We have 5 babies in the nursery and 2 are on the way. We have 2 small groups that meet throughout the week, and our women's ministry meets regularly as well. On Thursday evenings, we teach ESL to Hispanics who are also in the area. We have covenant members who serve with the International Mission Board in Southeast Asia, Somalia, and Kenya. And we also have 2 more members that are serving as full-time missionaries in Ecuador. This Christmas, we'll have the opportunity to serve along 2 churches to provide gifts for 17 families and 55 children. And we're also connected with a family of Afghan refugees that are in our area. Just a quick update on the kids. Faith is a junior education major at Cedarville University in Ohio. Caleb is a freshman at Columbia University in New York, majoring in film studies. Lily is a freshman at the University of Georgia, majoring in marketing. Emily is a sophomore at Whitfield Academy and just received her driver's license, so she's hot on the road of Atlanta. So pray for her. Joshua and Daniel are 8th graders at Atlanta Classical, and Mike is a 6th grader at Whitfield Academy. Teresa teaches kindergarten at Atlanta Classical, and Matthew and I still teach at Whitfield Academy. So thank you all for your prayers and your support, and it's good to be home for a little bit. So.
We made it look good. You made it look good. Thank you. And you know, and so thank you, Sarah, for getting up and doing that. I like the fact that she had notes. You can see she's very focused and organized, very good. One of the things that you'll remember as a church, it's good to have updates like these, is that you'll recall we've been praying for M28 Church for many, many years. We have them on our consistent prayer list. And then also, just as a reminder, I've been in contact with Brother Matt, is that we're very likely going to take a team and go and come alongside of them at some point this summer to do something together, right? So we want to support these churches as they go out and do those things. So again, Sarah, thank you. Now, we have another David besides myself coming up this morning. Melissa is coming up. As you can see, shoeboxes. Today is the shoebox dedication. Melissa also made some notes, so you guys can be excited about the notes to come up and share with us about the shoeboxes. There you are.
All right. Good morning. So I am going to share some statistics with you guys. I know my husband likes statistics, so I'm going to assume that you all are willing to listen to those since he shares them frequently. Since 2004, Dallasburg Baptist Church has packed 5,212 shoeboxes. Praise the Lord. That's 5,000. 212 children who heard the gospel because we packed and prayed over shoeboxes. Guys, that's exciting stuff. This year, we have packed 463 shoeboxes, which is also phenomenal. Wasn't expecting a clap, but friends, that's 463 bars of soap, 463 washcloths, 463 cups. Every one of them got a spoon in their box. Lots of pencils that were sharpened by our dear friend Ruby. 463 coloring books, a large number of crayons, a bunch of toys, clothing, dolls, 463 copies of The Greatest Journey in their native language. Countless hours of effort, about 100 boxes that were wrapped by many here in the congregation, a lot of tape, some patchwork on those boxes, a lot of love, tears of joy, tears of concern for our sister Joyce, who was not able to be with us this year, time and prayer, but most importantly, it's 463 opportunities for children to hear the gospel. And I am just humbled to stand before you. We're going to pray over these boxes. We have two here. The other 461 boxes are loaded in a trailer downstairs to be delivered just after church today. So those are nice and dry. I would encourage you, as you're Christmas shopping, guys, I look at the clearance aisle in every store I go to year-round. So if there's something you think a kid might like to have in a shoebox or that they might need, start purchasing those things now. Start you a collection in your closet, and don't wait till the last minute. Next year we can do 500, I'm confident of it. So let's all start looking for those items, year-round, and start the process. Okay, at this time, Peggy and I are gonna put our hands on these boxes, and we'd like to ask you all to join in prayer with us. Dear Lord, I come to you today just humbled. Humbled that you sent your son to the cross to die for our sins, past, present, and future, Lord. And then you choose us, and you desire to use us to share the gospel. Lord, I just pray for these shoeboxes. I pray for the children that will receive them. I pray for all who will handle them in their path to those children, Lord. Thank you for the many volunteers who make this effort possible. Thank you for the leadership from Joyce and for Peggy that organizes and informs us in order to make this possible. Lord, I just pray that you would use these boxes in a mighty way. And Lord, it's not about the box and it's not about the contents of the things, but it's about the gospel in these boxes. And we know that you have gone before them and you have begun to work on hearts of children. And Lord, we just pray that there might be a mighty, mighty result from these efforts. Lord, I also would like to take this time to pray for our sister Joyce. Joyce is a very integral part of the shoebox ministry and a part of our congregation, our church, Lord. She's our sister in Christ, and she's hurting. Joyce is very ill right now, and we love her dearly, and we just lift her up to you, and we just pray that today would be a day of comfort, a day of increased appetite, increased strength, and Lord, that she would just most of all feel your love surround her at this time. Lord, we love you, and we can't thank you enough for allowing us to be just a small part of this ministry that you have. Lord, thank you for all you do for us, and it's in your name I pray. Amen.
All right, so thank you so much, Melissa and Peggy, for coming up this morning. I'm just super excited that we get to partner alongside them for this ministry. And you know, one of the things that I wanted to emphasize, and we've talked about this quite often, and I think it's very important for us to hear this again, is that yes, it is very important for children to know that people love them. It's super, super important. But the most important that these boxes contain is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so depending on whatever language, whatever the places these end up, the individuals handing those out do a gospel presentation. And so that's the most valuable thing you're sending forth in these shoe boxes is the gospel. It's the most important thing that we consistently cling to ourselves as well. So pray for these. I look forward to next year where we get to participate in this again so we can send out God's love into the world, right? I'm going to pray. As I'm praying, our musicians will come forward and get ready to prepare our hearts for worship, and then we will move forward from there. All right, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for this morning, Lord. We thank you for our time together, for food and fellowship this morning that the deacons provided for. So thankful for the food. We're very thankful for our hour that we had together in a small group study in Sunday school to learn more about you and to grow in you. And Lord, we're very thankful for this time we enter into right now where our musicians begin to prepare our hearts for worship so they soften our hearts so the word falls upon good soil. Lord, we thank you for this time together. Lord, as we enter into this week of the Thanksgiving holiday, Lord, we just pray that we're able to focus upon you, lifting up praise and being thankful for all of the blessings you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning. You guys stand with us and sing some songs.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you reveal a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in His life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service to Jesus our King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
All right, we're getting that clapping thing down. Keep on.
God sent His Son. called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died, knew by my pardon, an empty grave is empty. Savior lived, because he lived, I can face tomorrow, because he lived, all fear is gone, because I know he holds the and life is worth the living just because he lived. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. Still, the calm assurance this child can face in certain days, because he lived, because he lived tomorrow, because he all fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, and life is worth living just because he lived. And then one day gives way to victory, I'll see the light of glory, and I know he lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives, all fear. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Psalm 89:15-16. It says, blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face, who exult in your name all the day, and in your righteousness are exalted. Jesus, the only one who could ever be.
There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart. Christ the sure and steady anchor in the fury of the storm. When the winds of doubt blow through me and my sails have all been torn, in the suffering and the sorrow, hopes of you, I will hold fast. it shall never be. Christ the sure and steady anchor, while the tempest rages on, when temptations claim the battle, and it seems the night has won. Deeper still then goes the anchor, though I will hold fast to the anchor, it shall never be removed. Christ the sure and steady anchor, through the floods of unbelief, hopeless somehow, oh my soul, lift your eyes to Calvary. We run in a list of assurance, see his love forever proved. I will hold fast to the anchor, it shall never be Christ the sure and steady anchor, as we face the wave of death, when these trials give way to glory, as we draw our final breath, we will cross that great horizon, clouds behind and life secure, and the calm will be the better for the storms that we endure. Christ the sure, Christ the sure of our salvation, ever faithful, ever true. We will hold fast to the anchor, it shall never be removed. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your promises. Thank you that you are our anchor through every season of life. God, we love you so much. It's in your precious Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Psalms 89:17-18. For you are the glory of their strength. By your favor, our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord. Thank you for the time of praise that we've had this morning. It sounded beautiful this morning, Lord. Thank you for this church family. Your local church. I'm just so thankful to be a part of a church that is so mission-minded, Lord, and it's just a great thing, Lord. Be with this time as we have our offering, and I pray that we use this offering to the ongoing work of your kingdom, Lord. Be with Michael as he brings our message today, and just may we clear our minds of all the busyness of our daily lives, and let us just take this little bit amount of time we have this morning, Lord, and give our whole focus to you. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
All right, our children will be dismissed to children's church. Somebody's ready to go to children's church for sure. I always want to give a huge thanks to all of our musicians, but specifically right here for Crystal. I swear there's someone else over here at times playing. Like there's no way one person can make all those notes. Just what a blessing Crystal is and her talent that God has given her, and she uses that for us. We gather here today. This is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So we want to take the opportunity to talk about Thanksgiving and praise and how that aligns with Scripture and what that looks like. Before we get going too far, I should have said this already, but I'm just going to say it now, is I wanted to thank all the men and women who made time yesterday to come and work at the church work day. Some gave up deer hunting, which I know is a really big thing this time of year, to come and serve the Lord and his church and working. So big thanks to all those men and women who came yesterday and did that. But what we want to talk about today is Thanksgiving and what Thanksgiving looks like, not just in terms of the holiday that many of you will celebrate next Thursday, but in terms of Scripture and what Scripture teaches us about Thanksgiving. I pray that many of you were able to join us this morning for our Sunday School Hour, and you've already had an entire hour of discussing Thanksgiving and what it's rooted in, where it comes from. You spent your morning in Psalm 100. Very good. And what we're going to do here for this next bit of time is we're going to expand upon that a little bit, right? I'm always looking for opportunities to discuss Philippians chapter 4, specifically verses 13, right? I'm always looking for opportunities to discuss that with people because in my experience and in my opinion, this is probably the verse in Scripture that is most ripped out of context and is used most inappropriately. Right? You know, you see it on sports stars' cleats, or you see it on their helmets, or you see it somewhere, and that is what they're using it to represent is exactly not what Paul was using it in Philippians to explain. And so what I want to do is I want to discuss Thanksgiving in terms of being content. And also looking at Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 through 13. So if you have your copy of God's Word and you'd like to turn to it, that's great. If not, Steve, our man back there in the box, will get that up on the screen for us. Side note, big thanks to Steve and Crystal for all the cool displays this morning, too. The Thanksgiving theme, good job on that. God's Word says this, starting in 10 here. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for this morning, Lord. We thank you for the time that we've had together. We thank you for the time of praise and fellowship this morning, Lord. It's just such an amazing day. Lord, we just pray that now as we continue into this gathering together and of worship and praise, Lord, that we're able to listen, we're able to have your word have an impact upon us, have it conform us more into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. And we pray that through your word, we are able to grow in what you desire for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, like I was saying quite often, this is just completely ripped out of context. And what Paul is essentially saying here is he's learned the secret of being content. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Because in light of the Thanksgiving holiday, right? And side note, I should say this. This is not a message that says the Thanksgiving holiday is wrong. That is not this message at all. That is not true. The Thanksgiving holiday is very godly and can be a very biblical thing. What I would encourage you, this is one of the things we discuss on a pretty regular basis on Wednesday nights is we're talking about always praying and looking for windows of opportunities to share the gospel. Windows of opportunity to model godly behavior. You're going to have one automatically built in on Thursday when you gather with some friends and family to do Thanksgiving. Or maybe you're crazy and you do it on a different day. Whatever day you're going to gather to celebrate this holiday, you have a built-in window of opportunity to share the gospel. Because I am very confident all of us have that one crazy uncle, one crazy cousin. You're like, oh man, he's coming again, right? It may be me, right, Emily? Emily's like, Emily's not, and it's you, Michael. Yes, maybe it's me, right? And you're looking for opportunities to where you can share the gospel with that person, right? Emily, you can share the gospel with me. I know it, but you can share it with me, so thank you. But this is a built-in opportunity to do that. And then also for us to have the ability to grow and for us to live a life of contentment, which I believe Scripture is very clear upon, we have to understand some key things. And Paul does an amazing job this morning in this set of Scripture discussing that. One of the main things that we have to understand, right, for us to make this big jump into being content, is we have to understand contentment with the sovereignty of God, right? It's one of the key things you talked about this morning in your Sunday school class, right? When we look at Psalm 100, it talks about acknowledge God as Lord, right? And so one of the things I love about Scripture, and one of the things I love to discuss about Scripture, is how often things are just presumed you already understand because of the culture of the time, right? And you saw that this morning. One of the things that Scripture presumes to understand is that you will understand the advantages of acknowledging God as Lord of your life, right? So Scripture doesn't discuss this. We'll talk about it a little bit. Maybe in your class you discussed this morning. What is the alternative? Let's say, for example, you decide, well, I don't want to acknowledge God as Lord. What is that going to lead to? This is what that leads to in your life. I got a little rest up here this morning. Hey, this is what this leads to in your life, right? It leads to a very cold existence. It leads to a very empty time of thinking, be like, what is my purpose, right? What is the purpose of existence? Why does this happen? Why did that happen? Why does this happen? If you are not willing to acknowledge God as Lord, you'll never understand that God is sovereign. Now, one of the tricky things about discussing this is, guess what? God doesn't need you to acknowledge Him as Lord of your life, because guess what? He is, yes, He already is. He doesn't need that. But it's important for you and your sanctification process to acknowledge Him, right? One of the things that I so love about talking about contentment, and from a negative point of view, discontentment, is we probably live in one of the times in history of the most, as some of the most discontent people that's ever existed, right? One of the things, now you guys have heard me talk about this, I love technology. Big fan of technology, not a big fan when it doesn't work. But when it works, a massive fan of technology, right? It's kind of one of the things I did for like 24 years. It's what I spent a lot of my life focusing on. We live in a miraculous time of technology. However, we've managed to be some of the most discontent people that's ever existed on the face of the earth, right? One of the examples, and this comes from a comedian, is his whole bit is like, we live in an amazing time, but everyone's unhappy. And the example he uses is air travel, right? Riding on a plane. Think about that for a second. That's an amazing thing, right? You're on something that weighs approximately a lot. We'll just go with that, a lot. It weighs a lot, and then now you're in the air. But what do, right? Anytime you've ever flown, there's usually someone complaining at the counter. Well, can I have an upgrade? No, Diane, you can't have an upgrade. No, you didn't pay for an upgrade, right? Well, I want 2 packs of peanuts. Man, there's no peanuts on this flight. You see people complaining. And the reality is, you're sitting in a chair traveling at 500 miles an hour, 40,000 feet in the air, but yet you're not happy with it. Well, it could be better, right? Don't forget, not that long ago, it took people years to get from the East Coast to the West Coast. And if you were like me, you spent much time playing Oregon Trail, a lot of people die of dysentery between point A and point B. Now, Kirk, I can always count on you to laugh at my bad jokes. Thank you, Kirk, right? And one of the things that you have to realize is that most of you who fly on a plane, you're gonna make it. You're gonna get from point A to point B, and it's gonna be great. But yet, what do? We sit there and complain. This is a problem with us. Now, one of the things that I love about messages like this is this a message that is just as relevant to a saved person to an unsaved person. Discontentment isn't something that only affects lost people. Discontentment is something that affects all people. My guess is you struggle with it. I can tell you right now, I struggle with it. I struggle with it at times, right? And it's something that God wants us to live a life of contentment, right? And that's the first step in understanding that is you have to become content with the sovereignty of God. And we've already discussed the negative side of that, right? You know, if you don't accept the sovereignty of God, it just feels like you're living a life out there in the wild. Like, just random things are happening to you. Why does this trial happen? Why did this happen to this person? Why did it go good today and go bad tomorrow? All of that falls under the sovereignty of God, right? You know, the $5 word we talk about a lot, we talk about this, is we talk about God's omnipotence, right? Omni meaning all, potence meaning power, omnipotent. God is all powerful, right? And so that should give you peace. That should give you some understanding in your life that God remains sovereign. Even when bad things are happening and you're experiencing a trial, right? I spent a lot of time this week in hospital rooms with individuals that are experiencing legit trials, right? Even in the midst of those trials, we have to cling to the fact that God remains sovereign in that. We have to hold to that. The alternative to that is very problematic, leads to a very discontent life, and leads to a very cold-hearted person that's just angry about everything because everything seems random. The universe is not random, right? The universe is living underneath the control of God, right? We move on to point two, and this is one that is always fun to discuss, is that this is something you have to understand. Contentment is a learned behavior, right? As we discuss the theological point of original sin, like we are born into the world because of the sin of Adam, and so we're all born with original sin. No one has ever had to teach you, your children, anybody you work with, how to complain. It comes very natural to you, right? If you want to spend some time, if you don't believe this concept, spend about 10 minutes with a baby. Right? You will learn. Yes, Mandy's like, yes, amen. Right? You will learn. She's been spending some time with some babies lately. If you want to understand original sin, spend some time with some babies. Right? No one's taught them to knock that cup off to make you then have to get up and come fix that. It just comes natural to them because it's the original sin in our life. One of the things we have to understand is the alternative to that is contentment is not natural to us. Contentment is something we have to learn. Right? We have to learn how to be content. We have to learn to rest in the fact that Christ is sufficient for you, not the stuff that you get. And you're all thinking like, man, Michael, you talk a lot about this. You're right. I do talk a lot about this. And you know why? Because a lot of us have a problem with it. Right? We have a problem with this. Literally, and I'm using the word correctly there, literally, billions of dollars are spent every year by people who sell stuff to convince you you're discontent with the stuff you already have. They primarily do this through advertising, right? Nowadays, the fancy word is social media influencers. I don't even know what that means, right? But you got these people who have your time on social media, and they're trying to sell you, well, if you buy this, well, your makeup will look beautiful. Right? I don't watch a lot of makeup videos. Let's be real honest with you, right? But I know that's out there, right? They're trying to convince you of this. And so what you have to understand and what you have to come to grips with is the fact that the world is trying to teach you something completely polar opposite to what Scripture teaches. And here's the reality, church. You have the option of who you want to go with. You can go with the world and you can live a life of discontentment. Of every year you want to buy something new, you got to have the newest, you got to have the shiniest, you got to have the best. And what does that lead to? Next year wanting the next thing. Or you can look at God's word and what God teaches us to be content with what he's blessed us with. Right? To be content with what we have. To be content and understanding that Christ is sufficient. We had a recent Bible study, and you know, you guys know I'm a massive fan of transparency. I think that's one of the keys to sanctification, to your growth in Christ, is being transparent with people. And I shared with them, as like, there's for sure examples in my life to where I wasn't living with the understanding that Christ was sufficient, that I wanted the new, shiny, bright thing, that I wanted the new stuff. And what did that lead to in my life? It led to nothing but emptiness. Right? It just led to never being satiated with the stuff that you want, because it doesn't fulfill you. There is only one thing, I put up two, there's only one thing, I'm okay at math, I promise. There's only one thing that will ever truly fulfill you, and that's relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. Now, I am very confident, we've got some people in here that are off the charts blessed, that were raised in God-fearing families, that have been in this church since the day they came into this earth. Their first visit outside of their home was coming to this church. What a blessing that is, right? It's an amazing thing. But the reality is this. We all have to come to that understanding on our own that Christ is sufficient, that Christ is enough, that Christ is the only thing that fully makes us content. And that is why it's so important to understand this as a learned behavior. It will not happen naturally in your life. One day, your children, or you, if you're not a believer, you will never wake up one day and just be like, you know what? I think I'm content today. I think Christ is sufficient, right? It's something you have to work at. It's something you have to do. Now, you have to be careful when we start talking about works, right? You never earn your salvation. That is impossible, right? You can't do that because your sin debt is so massive, you can never work enough to pay it off. But you do have to work at being content. It's something you have to be conscious of and you have to be working towards, right? You know, it's one of the things I say this to people all the time. You never have been taught how to complain. You do need to be taught how to be content. The primary way you're going to learn to be content is spending time in God's Word. The more of God's Word you consume, the more of this scripture that you store up in your heart for situations, the more content you will be. There is a very positive correlation between scripture reading and contentment. It's very positive in your life. If you're not spending much time in God's Word and you're hearing this message, you're like, man, I struggle with being content. That's why. Because you need more of God's Word in your life. You need more of that information to help understand you. Or to help you understand, right? The third point here, and this is what most people get wrong with Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. One of the things that Paul is expressing here is that your contentment has nothing, right? The word there is correct. It's nothing. It's not little. It's nothing. Your contentment has nothing to do with your circumstances. Right? It doesn't, like Paul says, I have been in seasons of life when I abound with plenty. I have been in seasons of life where I have nothing, and I've learned in all of those how to be content. How does he understand that? What's his secret? His secret is Christ. His secret is focusing on Christ. I'm an ESV translation guy. I like the ESV. I have tons of Bibles that are NIV. Hear this, don't get rid of your NIV translation Bibles. It's a very good translation. I use it quite often. In this situation, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, I actually like the NIV translation better, right? And so where we see in verse 13, where the ESV translation says this, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The NIV translation is this, I can do all this through him who strengthens me. And the this is pointing to what? It's pointing to verses 11 and 12, where Paul is basically saying, it's not saying, verse 13 isn't saying, man, if I put this on my tennis shoes, I'll be twice as fast as I was. I'll be twice as fast. Now for me, that still ain't very fast, right? Don't matter how many times I write that on my shoes, it ain't gonna help a lot, right? That's not what verse 13 is saying. Verse 13 clearly is pointing back to verses 11 and 12 and saying, I can suffer the best in life and I can suffer through the worst in life and still remain content. Content in what? Content in my relationship with Jesus Christ, right? So what I want to share with you this morning, and this is what I was saying, is that I love this message because this message is equally as important for those of you who have been walking in right relationship with Christ for many years. This is just as important for anyone here who has no relationship with Jesus Christ, right? This is what I want to encourage you. For those of you who are walking in right relationship with Christ, amen. Christ will help you grow when you're content. You can always be better at being more content, right? For those of you who are not walking in right relationship with Christ, the only way you're going to feel fulfilled in life, that's a lot of F's, the only way you're going to feel that, right, is through a relationship with Christ. One of the examples, and I like this, and there's no analogy that fits perfectly for this, but this is a pretty close one, is that we're created with a heart. You guys, we've discussed how important the heart is in Scripture, and there's a piece of your heart that's missing. And so many of us do what? We're doing our absolute best to find that missing part. And we'll just, for ease sake, we'll just call it the world. You're looking to the world for that piece of the heart, right? Whether that be alcohol, whether it be drugs, whether it be buying the newest, coolest stuff, whether it be buying the newest, coolest clothes. We'll talk about makeup since I've already made that analogy this morning. Well, you'll spend all of this effort searching after that one thing that makes you feel satisfied. The fact is this, only one piece of the puzzle fits that hole, and that's Jesus Christ, right? One of the things...